Welcome back, friends. Today and for the next few episodes, Mike and I will have the privilege of looking at Proverbs 10. So you might... want to have your scriptures ready for that Bible passage. And I always start with that it is a privilege to study sacred scripture. You know, the Lord is sovereign, he's king, he's creator, and he was not obliged to write his thoughts or to have men write their thoughts him, so that we could know him so intimately. He wasn't obliged to do that. That was just gracious goodness on his part. And if we have that time to take, and I urge all of us to find that time, even in this very, very busy world we have, that time is so precious, spent with him in scripture. So it is indeed a privilege. It's a privilege to be able to take that time to spend with him. And it's certainly a privilege to hear what the Creator has to say about things. So the title of this talk, and it's straight out from, from the Reverend Scobie, who we'll be looking at pretty closely during our conversation, is The Folly of Wickedness, The Wisdom of Righteousness. So we're going to review, maybe I'll stop there, see if you have any insights, thoughts, before we just go through some basic review.
I'm always so thankful for your preparation and all of the just aspects you bring into it with different things like Scobie and references and things, where I feel that every time we talk, I get a deeper understanding and appreciation for the passages that we read. And so I'm so grateful to keep doing this with you.
Thank you. Thank you. God is so good. He's so good. So, review of basic information. So from the past show. So we're continuing on with this overall theme of gardening. Here we are. It's that time of the year where in my house, I start getting catalogs, gardening catalogs, and seed catalogs, all kind of catalogs. Okay. I'm going with that analogy of catalog, seed catalog, particularly to Proverbs in a very broad way. I say that because Proverbs fleshes out the consequence. Well, let me step back. It helps define what consequences are from a morality point of view. Then it shows us what happens when we make those choices. I recall Moses' final blessing to Israel in Deuteronomy, the second law, was, you know, keep the commandments. You know, it's a tight exhortation. Christ has that same exhortation in his final discourse right before the passion, when he says in John 14:15, keep my commandments. Mm-hmm. Proverbs helps to expand what Moses and Jesus are talking about. That helps us have this broader view of why, right? It helps us to understand the why. And like a good catalog, it shows us, you know, our final result. You know, some seeds we plant and gives us certain kinds of plants, right? They don't all give us the same kind of plant. The wisdom literature, of which Proverbs is part of, is an eclectic collection of proverbs, moral lessons, riddles, warnings, extended meditations, and philosophical inquiry and debate. It also includes hymns and even love poetry, such as in the Song of Songs. And then I'll refer here to the notes. There were two scholars different ways of outlining Proverbs, the book of Proverbs. So I proposed two different ways. One is Proverbs, kind of a, if you just looking at textual delineation, if you will. So Proverbs 1 of Solomon, then Proverbs 2, Words of the Wise, Proverbs of Solomon 3, the words of Agur and the words of Lemuel. So that's one way. Another way of outlining Proverbs is to look at it thematically. So if we look at it thematically, perhaps, and that and the image would be of spousal imagery, right? Because the love of the soul, God and the love of the soul, then we would have a little different breakdown. In any event, of the two types of outlines, Proverb 2 comes in the second section, which is why Micah thought it, and I totally agreed that we'd just take up Proverbs 10. We looked at Proverbs 1. Now we'll look at Proverbs 10, which is in the second part of the book of Proverbs. And so for a further discussion of those outlines, I just pulled it straight out of A Catholic Introduction to the Old Testament, John Bergsma and Brant Petrie, Ignatius Press. And that's just where I got that, the spousal imagery. And for the straight textual form, I got from Roland Murphy, The Forms of the Old Testament Literature. It's a multi-volume set. This one is volume 13, which includes, it's part of the wisdom literature, which includes Proverbs. So that's, if you want to know more about outlining, those are good sources.
Do you have one you prefer, Karen?
Do I have a preference between
those two breakdowns? Just in personal preference, do you like the spousal imagery one more, or? I guess they're pretty similar, but.
Yes. Probably the spousal does probably speak to me. I'm a married woman. I'm a wife and mother and grandmother. The garden, is the setting of, with Adam and Eve and all of that. So there's spousal at the beginning of creation. And their spousal with the marriage feast of the Lamb at the end. So I think that's a nice visual. How about yourself?
I think the same. I always really loved the bridegroom paradigm and just that imagery and metaphor of the church being the bride of Christ and just this idea of the last days actually concluding in a feast, like a wedding feast. And I just think that's so beautiful.
It is beautiful. It is very beautiful. All right, my friends, we're going to pick up in the next episode, continuing a little more involved look at Proverbs 10. Till then, my friends, Fide Serratio.